The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Frederiksen of Denmark and the Ministry of Koblenz, daughter of Ireland, You can tell that's a 48 step. I'm thinking of home. The daughter of Iceland, and we're working in lockstep on to tackle climate crisis, in which you've been leaders on for a long time, and in order to literally preserve our planet. It's the only existential threat humanity faces.
Are you worried that the political instability in U.S. will cause issues in the alliance in the future?
Let me be clear. I didn't say we didn't guarantee it. We couldn't guarantee the future. You can't tell me whether you're going to be able to go home tonight. No one can be sure what they're going to do.
There you go. That's a collection from Joe Biden during his trip abroad. And it was Donald Trump yesterday who suggested that the cocaine, it may have actually belonged to the big guy, or perhaps both of them are taking it. I think Trump might have been half joking, but there's no question that they've got him on something to get him through these painful, painful experiences, speeches that make no sense. And there he is talking about the only threat facing the world, climate change. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, last show of the week. You can get to the live stream, the video stream of this show at our website, trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone. So that's noon on the East Coast and 9 a.m. out West. You can get to it every weekday morning at trumpetdaily.com. Don't forget about our Rumble channel. We've also got the live stream going there. Just go to Rumble and search for The Trumpet Daily, and you can join the live chat and leave some comments on the Rumble. And don't forget to give us the thumbs up Rumble as well. That's at the Rumble channel. So it's a busy time just to tie up a few loose ends here before we launch into quite a lot of material that I want to get through today. But it is a busy time on campus. We've got our summer educational program that's set to begin really this afternoon. Well, they've been setting up, the workers have been setting up the youth camp, all the facilities and the fields and so on, the equipment. That's been going on for the last couple of days. And then this afternoon, just an hour after this show ends, we head into our orientation lectures to just get the workers prepared for what's coming next week as all the campers begin to arrive on Sunday and Monday for the three-week camp. And then for those that come in a little bit early, they get to see Celtic Throne on Sunday afternoon here in Armstrong Auditorium, or here on God's campus at Armstrong Auditorium. I checked this morning. I think there's 9 seats left available for this showing. So we're going to have over 800 people in attendance for the final show of Celtic Throne. If you want to snag a couple of those last few remaining seats, just go to CelticThrone.com. Hopefully next week we can get some feedback together and let you hear what audiences have been saying all summer long about this tremendous performance. So this is Donald Trump in an interview yesterday, I believe, speculating on the cocaine that magically appeared with no fingerprints and no cameras were able to follow it into the White House, of all things. The White House. This is clip two.
What is your reaction when you see cocaine in the White House? Can you even believe that's possible?
But I put out a truth. It's in my opinion, it's Hunter and probably Joe. Because, you know, you watch
right.
Joe at the beginning of a speech, and he's got a little life. Not much, but he's got a little life. By the end of the speech, he's a disaster. He can't even find his way up the thing. So there's something going on there, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was for both of them. I think it's for both of them, but that's my opinion.
So that's Trump's opinion. And then yesterday we learned, well, I told you on the show yesterday, that the investigation, the Secret Service's investigation, said that they were going to shut it down as of today. The case is over. And so they went before some committee in the House, And we learned that this is not the first time during the Biden. I guess there were two instances last year when they discovered marijuana. So here you've got, this is like a drug house. They've turned the people's house into the white powder house, essentially. And there's reports, Jesse Waters commented on this earlier in the week, how that there's sources saying that Hunter lives there. He's living in the White House. Well, why wouldn't you? You get complete cover for all of these crimes. You know they're not going to press charges. You know they're not going to convict. Certainly not the Bidens. If it belonged to anyone else, they'd probably go after him just so that it can take some of the heat off of the Biden crime family. As it is, you look at the timing. I mean, this is almost, you can't make this up. June 20th, that's when the sweetheart plea deal was announced. And again, the judge still has to sign off on that. But they announced the plea deal. You've got the minor tax, you know, breaking the misdemeanor charge. And then you've got the gun charge, you know, owning a gun illegally. And yet that, because of some kind of diversion scheme, that charge would just go away as long as Hunter stays sober. So the plea deal is announced June 20th. And then July 2nd, just 12 days later, they find cocaine in the White House, and now that investigation is over. No charges, everything just disappears. And they want to go after Donald Trump for moving boxes, really? For making a mistake on an accounting ledger? They're going to go after Donald Trump for thought crimes, really? I'll get to that in just a second. Listen to Speaker McCarthy first on, I think, on Fox yesterday, clip 8.
It just seems to me when it comes to the Biden Inc. family, they get treated different than anybody else. If they can't tell us first where the cocaine was even located, they gave us three different locations. You know this location right by a situation room. Very few people get to go around there. But if they can't tell us who brought it, what else is happening in the White House they can't tell us about? What else is coming into the White House they can't tell me about? That even concerns me more now, because the discussions we have in that building, the places that are, and the situations that are being discussed and actually decided upon in that building, people are walking in with cocaine, putting in cubby holes, and you turn around to the American public and say, you don't know when you have all the security in the world. That is a concern that I have greatly.
They have all the security in the world, everything that they need to crack this case, no pun intended, everything that they need to find out who the culprit is, who's the one that's guilty of a felony. They dropped the case. The Secret Service now, add them to the list of all these agencies, these government agencies that have been compromised, that have been pressured into just going along with the communist left, covering up crimes, and then create. Just think for a moment how the corrupt regime media would treat this story. If it was happening anywhere else in the world, suppose they found crack in at 10 Downing Street or at the prime minister's residence in Jerusalem. Suppose they found it in the Kremlin or even some banana republic. What would the regime media say if they had that story? If that was proven to happen at any seat of government in the world, and here it's happening in the most powerful, we're supposed to be, the single most powerful nation in the world, the leader of the free world, and they have nothing to say. It's no big deal. I guess it happens all the time. There's crackheads working in the White House. This is from the New York Times on the Jack Smith persecution of Donald Trump. It says here, federal prosecutors investigating former President Donald Trump attempts to overturn the 2020 election have questioned multiple witnesses in recent weeks, including Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, about whether Trump had privately acknowledged in the days after the 2020 election that he had lost, according to four people briefed on the matter. They want to see if he did acknowledge that he lost, because he's out there publicly saying that it was rigged, it was stolen. They're trying to get to motivation, malicious intent here. They're going after him on thought crimes, and meanwhile, you've got crackheads running the White House. You've got crackheads possibly living in the White House. It says here, the line of questioning suggests prosecutors are trying to establish whether Trump was acting with corrupt intent as he sought to remain in power. They're trying to divine a motive, just like they did during the bogus and fake and false Mueller investigation. Coming up with all of these lies, Trump-Russia collusion. You've got people like Chris Wray and them that they won't even still admit that it's a hoax. Crackheads in the White House, but try to get Donald Trump on some kind of a thought crime. Give the prosecutor in this case an unlimited budget. Make sure that the investigations are never ending. It didn't even last for, what, a week and a half? Why did the Secret Service close out the investigation? Why not extend it for a few months or maybe 3 years? Why not give him a budget of $20 million, $30, $40 million? Why not interview all of these witnesses? Why not try to divine a motive in Hunter or Joe or whoever else? What about Susan Rice? None of that. No, it's just abruptly dropped and it goes away. I think, though, you have to wonder, as ordinary Americans, I mean, people are busted for less. The people go off to jail for a year, 2 years, 5 years. Think about, I mean, not that there's other crackheads out there that are going to carry the election, but there's plenty of people in the United States that have had relatives, nieces, nephews, siblings, parents, children that have weakened morally and have succumbed to the temptation of illegal drugs and then have paid the penalty for it. People on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. What do you suppose Joe America is thinking as he sits out there and hears these reports? Yeah, cocaine was discovered in the White House. Don't know who it belonged to. We're just going to move right on. I think it was on Bannon earlier today where it said that Trump is so far ahead in the polls, whether it's Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. And then they're on Fox News this morning trying to decide, well, maybe if DeSantis isn't going to work out, you know, there's kind of a groundswell of support for Tim Scott or whoever. And Trump is ahead by a landslide. And this pollster was saying in any other scenario, at any other time, they would basically be saying Trump's got it. It's in the bag. But they can't do that because Rupert Murdoch doesn't like Trump. He hates him. Anyone but Trump. So watch them now as they try to, you know, pick up the pieces of a ruined campaign already from Ron DeSantis and see, well, is there someone else that we can put in his place? Is there someone else that can possibly take out the bad orange man? Maybe one of these investigations will take him out. They're all on the same side. It's all about get Trump. Never Trump. Never, 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 never Trump. And meanwhile, the country is crumbling before our eyes. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. The former chief investigator of the Department of Education said the agency noticed a startling spike in Chinese donations to the University of Pennsylvania after President Joe Biden opened his think tank at the school in 2017. He opens the think tank. There's an alarming spike. A startling spike. So says this witness. We'll play a clip from him in just a second. Happens right as Biden gets in there. He's got his think tank there. The University of Pennsylvania starts raking in tens of millions of dollars. Of course, the big guy gets paid for being a professor in name only. How perfect is all of this? They go after Trump on boxes. And meanwhile, you've got the CCP lining the pockets of all these Biden officials that worked at that think tank and that were out there trying to raise funds for the Biden crime family operation. It says here it was extraordinary, said Paul Moore, who served as the agency's chief investigative counsel during the Trump administration. In congressional testimony on Thursday, this was yesterday, UP ranked raked in over $100 million from China-based contributors between 2017 and 2022, so that's up through last year, the Washington Free Beacon reported earlier this year. This was a substantial increase from the four-year period to 2017, when the school received a total of $19 million. So they received $19 million in the 4 years before Biden established that think tank. $19 million from these foreign donors, foreign adversaries, and then $100 million in the 4 years after Biden established the think tank. How did this happen? What a remarkable gain in income for the University of Pennsylvania and many others. It says Moore's testimony comes as UPenn and the Penn Biden Center face scrutiny over the surge in foreign donations. The Penn Biden Center, by the way, is also where Biden took, he helped himself to classified documents. Yeah, stored them right there in the university. He was moving boxes all over the place. Can't get him on moving boxes. Can't get him on these illegal donations. Or at least there's some kind of money laundering going on. You know it. It's all over the place. You're getting wire transfers to nine members of the Biden family. And you got to go after Trump on a thought crime? Yeah, that's the way it is. When the communists are in control, they just simply erase the crimes of their own people and create crimes that they can go after their opponents with. They create them out of thin air. Interviewing Jared Kushner to see it. Did he maybe say that he lost the election? Because then we can show that there was malicious intent. Listen to this. This is that Paul Moore of the Defense of Freedom Institute. It's his testimony yesterday in front of a committee on education and the workforce, clip 9.
I think the American public should be very concerned about the undisclosed donor identities to UPenn, particularly leading up to the presidential election in 2020. It was after the establishment of the Biden Center that there was a very dramatic increase. I think Gibson contracts were up 389% between 2018 and 19. Meanwhile, I think nine current administration officials were on the payroll of the UPenn Biden Center. UPenn is not alone. There are many other universities with similar patterns where it appears that there's an attempt to influence policymakers, but this was a rather startling one with UPenn.
He said there that nine current Biden administration people, they were on the Biden Penn Center payroll, including Biden himself. Nine of them. So they're all there working at the think tank. They're all out there raising funds from CCP companies. The University of Pennsylvania is just raking it in. Everybody's benefiting. Everybody's helping themselves to the cash pot here. Just dipping in. They're all getting their cut, certainly the big guy. This is one more from Moore's testimony yesterday, clip 10.
When President Biden opened the Penn Biden Center think tank at the University of Pennsylvania in 2017, Chinese gifts to UPenn spiked. Chinese donors gave $105 million from mid-2018 to mid-2022, which is nearly double the known previous donations. The current Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, served as the center's director. Many of its former employees now work in the White House. And then Vice President Biden illegally stored classified documents in his office at the center. Mr. Moore, was the Department of Education aware of the spike in Chinese donations to UPenn after the Penn Biden Center opened?
And we were also aware of the same pattern at many other universities, but it was particularly startling to see with UPenn what they had received. That was very notable. Unfortunately, under Section 117, once that information had been reported, we really couldn't do anything with it, and that's why we didn't. That's why I wrote that we weren't going to open an investigation.
But you did look into opening an investigation, but.
It would have been a very political thing, inappropriate, frankly, for the Office of the General Counsel if, after UPenn had reported in compliance with Section 117, which is a very bare reporting requirement, if we had then opened an investigation into UPenn, frankly, that would have been an act we shouldn't have engaged in, and so we didn't.
But you do admit that you did find it abnormal. The
Absolutely.
Sheer amount of Chinese donations to the Penn Biden Center was not, that wasn't normal.
It was extraordinary.
What did you make of it?
I can only speculate. But our job, frankly, the Department of Education, was to ensure that policymakers, congressmen and women, and the American people could see for themselves all that money going to UPenn from China and other universities to access our technology and perhaps to influence future policymakers.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about well over $100 million just to this one think tank center that obviously had deep connections to the Biden family and now to the Biden administration. I mean, you talk about you can only speculate, but what would the Chinese donors get out of that type of access?
I think that's a very fair question, Congressman.
Fair question. So we'll go on and continue to discuss it. But of course, nothing will ever come of it. You'll notice he said there in the middle how it would be inappropriate to actually open up an investigation during the Trump years. Because, you know, he works for Trump. It would be seen as political. Now, the communists don't think that way. The communists control the White House, the DOJ, the FBI. So they just commit crimes with impunity. I mean, and then they lie to your face, as I covered with you yesterday. They lie to your face. But the other side, you see, well, if we get some control here, well, the Republicans control the House right now. That's a perfect example. There's some investigations. There's some good sound bites. I mean, we play them on this show. But no one's held to account. We saw this spike up to 100 million. It had been 20 million before. 100 million? But, you know, we couldn't really do anything because it would be seen as political. Political, that's right. So they back off. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. It's about this gal, Luft. He's a guy that came forward with as a whistleblower with allegations against the Biden crime family. And it turns out now that Merrick Garland's DOJ has gone after him. You see, they this is the way they play. They go after the whistle. If the whistleblower comes forward and says, hey, I've got some evidence that they were on the take from the CCP, here's the receipts, then now Garland's DOJ is going after this guy. It says here, the prosecutor's leading the charge against Gal Luft, who claims to have damning information about Biden, or the Biden crime, it doesn't say crime, the Biden family's ties to China, have donated to President Joe Biden and other Democrats. So the communist lawyers, they spring to action. The communist prosecutors, they spring to action. This guy claims to have damning information about Biden's ties to China. And the DOJ is going after him, probably for moving boxes. We'll see. It says the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan unsealed charges this week against Luft, who claims to have given the FBI information in 2019, this is 4 years ago, went to Chris Wray's FBI and said, hey, we've got some information here. Look at what the Bidens are getting away with. He gave it in 2019 about the Biden family's Chinese business dealings. It says assistant U.S. attorneys Catherine Gosch and Daniel Richenthal, who conducted the interview with Luft in 2019, are the two lead prosecutors on his case, court records show. Both have contributed exclusively to Democrats. So these Democrats interviewed him in 2019, this whistleblower. He had the receipts on the Biden crime family dealings with the CCP. And now these interviewers, oh, they're going after the whistleblower. Of course. Of course. It says Gosch made 35 contributions. You talk about a political hit job. They made 35 contributions to the 2020 election cycle to Biden's campaign and the Democratic National Committee. According to campaign finance records, Rosenthal contributed to the 2008 Obama-Biden campaign when he served in private practice, the records show. And you have this latest revelation, the email between someone at Burisma and Hunter's people in 2015, which basically just adds more detail, adds more evidence to why Burisma would even hire Hunter. Well, because they wanted help from the Biden crime family. They needed some favors. It's not that complicated. all this going on, all this corruption in Ukraine, the Biden's in the thick of it there, and then you wonder just how much of it he even carries over to this day. I mean, the United States spending tens of billions of dollars and just recently sending over cluster bombs. Everybody on the radical left side, like 2 seconds ago, said that people using cluster bombs, that's a war crime. But not now. No, I mean, the Biden people, let's just give Zelensky cluster bombs too. Why not? Putin's using them, so let the other side use them. Let's ramp it up. Speaking of Ukraine, listen to what Joe Biden said on his trip this week regarding the war. Clip 3.
The issue of whether or not this is going to keep Putin from continuing to fight. The answer is Putin's already lost the war. Putin has a real problem. How does he move from here? What does he do? And so the idea that there's going to be what vehicle is used, he could end the war tomorrow. He could just say, I'm out. But what agreement is ultimately reached depends upon Putin and what he decides to do. But there is no possibility of him winning the war in Ukraine. He's already lost that war.
If he's already lost it, why are you sending him cluster bombs that are known to kill a lot of civilians because of the shrapnel that explodes all over the place? Or if one doesn't detonate, why would you send cluster bombs to Zelensky if Putin has lost the war? It seems to me that you're sending cluster bombs because you're desperate. You're desperate for the Ukraine army to advance. As I said, not that long ago, this was just last year, near the start of the Ukraine war, when then White House spokesperson Jen Psaki, she said this, clip 4.
I don't have any confirmation of that. We have seen the reports. If that were true, it would potentially be a war crime.
She's talking about the reports that Putin used cluster bombs. And now, thanks to Joe Obama, they're sending cluster bombs to Zelensky. Listen to this one congressperson trying to defend the indefensible. Clip 5.
The danger of cluster munitions is, think of an artillery shell that shoots hand grenades. It's not one big explosion. It's all these things that go out. And the danger is unexploded ordnance that a child might walk over years later. However, here's number one. The Russians are using them big time. And it's a very dangerous and destructive weapon of war. So the idea of no cluster munitions on the ground in Ukraine, that's gone by. The Russians are using them. Secondly, we're trying to dislodge the Russians. This is a very important weapon.
We're trying to dislodge the Russians. This is important. This is an important weapon now, say these radicals. Now it's important. Well, Putin used some, so we've got to use some. So here come the cluster bombs. There's a foreign policy piece that basically makes the point that the Ukraine war was made possible by decisions brought to you by Barack Hussein Obama. Just like we've said so many times on this show, all roads lead to Obama. This foreign policy piece talks about all the turmoil in that region, even before 2022, when the war in Ukraine is supposed to have started. This piece says Ukraine has already endured an 8-year hybrid war that took 14,000 lives before Russia's massive invasion in 2022 took even more. It says with tens of thousands and perhaps as many as several hundred thousand people killed on both sides. Takes you back to the aggressive steps that Putin's Russia was taking all during the Obama years. Now suddenly it's important to make a stand against Putin. Back then, not so much. Now, I mean, send cluster bomb. We got to dislodge Putin. Where were these people in 2014? Where were they in 2008? It says here, without question, Putin bears full and total responsibility for his war in Ukraine and the suffering and the death his forces have inflicted. But his attack on Ukraine in 2014 his growing imperial ambitions and his subsequent decision to obliterate the Ukrainian state have their roots in the policies and actions of the United States and its allies during the Obama years. Donald Trump sees this. He understands this. Now, he may be a little overconfident, thinking that he can end that war in one day. But he sees what happened, what didn't happen during his administration. You know, Putin wasn't on the march, but he sure was during Obama's administration. Well, now we're to the third term of Obama. And look at what Putin is doing. Look at the carnage he's causing. All roads lead to Obama. This is from the Hollywood Reporter. Former U.S. President Barack Obama scored his second Emmy nomination Wednesday for the Netflix docuseries Working, What We Do All Day. This man. And the way that he's worshipped. They swoon, just like my father says in this book. They swoon before Obama. Obama can do no wrong. Donald Trump can't even move a box without being prosecuted. But Obama, look at what he gets away with, this man. It's right there in Washington. His people filling the White House, some of them, at least one of them, crackhead. This is just a follow-up, briefly, on the Ray Epps lawsuit against Fox News. Ray Epps is the only MAGA supporter who stormed the Capitol that the regime media defends assiduously. Oh, yes. Listen to Ray Epps' attorney on an interview yesterday, clip 6.
So how have these lies upended your client's life? What was the, so that's the cause, all these lies put out there by a whole bunch of individuals, including on Fox. But while we've also heard, you know, Republicans in the House and Senate spewing them as well, or at least leaning into them. What was the effect? If that's the cause, what was the effect on Ray Epps' life?
The moment that Fox and Mr. Carlson began talking about Ray Epps on their shows, Ray Epps and his wife began receiving death threats in the mail, in voicemails, in text messages. People began driving past their house where they had not just their home, but also their wedding venue business, having guns, holding guns outside their trucks and cars as they drove past. They found, Ray and Robin found bullet casings on their grounds. And they were inundated with threats to the point where at one point, a local FBI agent alerted Ray to the fact that there were credible threats against Ray on the dark web. And even Ricky Schiffer, who is the man who attacked the FBI office in Cincinnati, Ohio, referred to Ray Epps in his Truth Social biography. So Ray became a focal point of the right-wing conspiracy theory after Fox began talking about him, and it took off. And the viewers and others began harassing and intimidating and threatening both Ray and Robin.
Notice again, crimes that might happen. Epps is the victim here. As soon as Tucker Carlson and Fox News started talking about Ray Epps, well, then the threats came. And now I guess Ray Epps is on the run. He's living in hiding. Never mind that he said, we've got to go into the Capitol. That's where the problems reside. We've got to go in. And the people who went in were arrested and prosecuted. They're languishing in jail, some of them. It's still awaiting their trials. And the instigator, or no, let's use the term that Ray Epps used, the orchestrator. I orchestrated it. That's a direct quote from Ray Epps. I orchestrated the riot. And he's the victim? Well, of course. I mean, if in the mind of Jake Tapper, he is. He's the victim. He is a victim, and we're to feel sorry for him. This is from America Under Attack. It says here, more and more, you'll recall Chris Ray's testimony earlier this week where he said, I don't even know if there were FBI agents embedded into that protest on January 6th. He's the FBI director, and the protest was 2.5 years ago. He has no idea. And the congressman said, I find that remarkable that you wouldn't know. Not even of one? There's all these other documents coming out showing that there's at least 100 FBI agents embedded into that, inciting the riot. You know what they said, the actual MAGA supporters, when Ray Epps was urging them to go into the Capitol. They chanted, Fed, Fed, Fed. They knew it. They were on to him from the beginning. And then he crossed the line. He went right across the barrier. Ray Epps did. Others were arrested for that, but not Ray Epps. Ray Epps is a victim. Ray Epps, his life is in danger. It says here, when Fox News reported on those Rosenberg videos, I'll have to go back and get the context of this at another time, but it says it covered the fact that he said the danger that day was drastically exaggerated. This is a reporter, I think, who's talking, you know, basically behind the scenes, saying that, yeah, you know, we were there to cover it, but it was exaggerated by the regime media, clearly. I think this is a guy who's a liberal, in fact. It says, but it did not even discuss his comment that there were a ton of FBI informants. It appears network executives instructed their journalists not to discuss that. That is at Fox News, which is supposed to be conservative. The New York Times and America's other largest news organizations are much more radically liberal, and the executives there were very focused on shaping the narrative surrounding January 6th for an important, specific reason. So, hey, don't say anything about the FBI agents. Don't say that the violence was grossly exaggerated. We've got a narrative to stick to here. And as part of that narrative, Ray Epps, the one who said, let's go inside, let's break these barriers down, he goes unscathed. In fact, he's defended by Jake Tapper and company. The New York Times, the amount of articles the New York Times has put together in defense of Ray Epps, it's astounding. Given that it was some kind of violent insurrection, he'd be the first guy to go to jail. Clearly, we all saw it with our eyes. But like I said yesterday, what you see right in front of you doesn't matter. They come and tell you, no, that's not what you see. Let me explain what you actually should see. It's very different. Ray Epps is a saint. Ray Epps is a hero. Ray Epps is a victim. Ray Epps needs to be protected. Ray Epps needs a $250 million from Fox News as part of a settlement, for sure. Just like Dominion. Just swimming in lies. God says there's no truth. There is no truth in the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the devil is the god of this world. Revelation 12:9 says Satan has deceived the whole world. Lies on top of lies. As I said yesterday, read Proverbs 6. See what the Bible says about what God hates. He hates false witnesses who spread lies. There's quite a few of them in our society today. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our current news segment and then also our Bible study segment. You're listening. Well, let me just first say, if you don't have America Under Attack, make sure that you call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, that bit that I just gave to you about that Rosenberg report, that the violence was exaggerated, that there were feds all over the place. There's other documentation suggesting that at least 100 of them, right there in that protest. How important was this operation for the FBI, for the DOJ, for Nancy Pelosi, for Joe Biden, for the radical left? They stole the election, and they had to destroy the evidence. That's what they gathered at Congress that day to discuss, to debate the evidence of cheating, the evidence of a massive amount of voter fraud. And so we got to create this narrative and then suggest that Trump's out there inciting a riot and try to throw him behind bars for that if you can't get him on the boxes. They made it all up. The media ran with it. The media downplayed the truth and told lies about Sicknick and all other things. How many? What are we up to now, by the way? The number of police officers that were murdered on January 6th. Surely it's got to be 12 or 15. I mean, if any have died of a stroke or a heart attack after the fact, it has to be connected to or related to January 6th. lies on top of lies, as I say, so much of it exposed in this book, this wonderful book, this powerful book, America Under Attack. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to give us some feedback, that's td@thetrumpet.com. That's our email address. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
A U.S. Navy briefing slide highlights the growing disparity between the size of China and America's navies, the War Zone reported on July 11th. This widening gap is largely the result of China's shipyards, which can produce an estimated 23,250,000 vessel tons. This is an astonishing 232 times greater than the U.S.'s estimated 100,000 ton capacity. China's navy is already the world's largest by number of ships, and although many of its current vessels are comparatively primitive, the nation is waging an aggressive campaign to modernize its fleets. China's total naval capacity would also include some ships from its massive civilian fleets and its Coast Guard, which is also the world's largest. Isaiah 23 warns of a massive trade bloc that will form in our lifetimes, called a Mart of Nations. The lead powers of this bloc will be China and Europe, and prophecy indicates that they will channel their immense power against the United States. To understand more about this key prophecy, read Chapter 7 of Isaiah's end-time vision. North Korea launched a long-range ballistic missile test on July 12th. The missile flew for 74 minutes, the longest ever flight time for a North Korean missile. Some reports said the weapon was the Hwasong-18, a solid-fuel intercontinental ballistic missile that North Korean Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un has called his most powerful nuclear weapon. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida and South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol condemned the launch, which took place while they were attending the NATO summit in Lithuania. The missile test came just days after North Korea accused U.S. spy planes of violating airspace laws and condemned the U.S. for sending a nuclear-powered submarine to South Korea. The U.S. and South Korea both dismissed the accusations. North Korea's neighbors are understandably concerned about the ramifications of an unstable dictator having nuclear weapons, and Kim Jong-un's regular missile tests only heighten tensions. To understand North Korea's role in end-time Bible prophecy, read, Does Bible Prophecy Say North Korea Could Trigger World War III? Turkey agreed to ask its parliament to advance Sweden's bid for NATO membership on July 10th. Sweden and Finland applied to join NATO in May of last year, motivated by fear of Russia after its invasion of Ukraine. For a country to be admitted, however, all members in the alliance have to give their consent. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has so far refused to do so. Erdogan has listed Sweden's accession into NATO as grounds for Turkey to be admitted into the European Union. Before leaving for the NATO summit in Vilnius, he said, First, come and open the way for Turkey at the European Union, and then we will open the way for Sweden, just as we did for Finland. Though political analysts can't always accurately predict the shifting alliances in this world, the Bible does. Psalm 83 prophesies of a group of nations in Europe and the Middle East, led by Germany, which aims to destroy the modern-day nations of Israel. Turkey will be a crucial player in this alliance. To understand why Turkey plays such a massive role in the world, read the article Pivotal Power. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
When Herbert Armstrong was just getting started out in business, you can read about his life story in the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. Before he was converted to the truth, he really was an ambitious, he said even cocky young man. He wanted to be a success. He wanted to rub shoulders with the successful. He wanted to make a lot of money, even. This was back in the 1920s, and even before that. And he says in his autobiography that God just wiped all of that out to humble him, to help him rearrange his priorities, to help him see that you've got to put God first above all else. He says here in his autobiography, the hand of God was taking away every activity on which my heart had been set. The business success before whose shrine I had worshipped, this zeal to become important in the business world had become an idol. God was destroying the idol. Just trying to see if we have that autobiography up here. We don't, but you can go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and order your free copy. There's no cost, no obligation. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. You can get to that that book or order it at our website, thetrumpet.com. It's a long book, a big book of almost 1,000 pages. But if you want to start in reading it right away, you can also get the online version, again, at thetrumpet.com. So God just wiped him out, wiped out his business. Notice Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, as Mr. Armstrong taught us, of course, we know the rest of the story. He was converted to the truth, and then he just gave himself to God, gave himself in service to God, and he taught us about putting God first above all else. I mean, if you let anything come between you and God, you're not obeying or observing the very first and great commandment, to love God with your whole heart, to put God above everything. Read it in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Where God lists the Ten Commandments. Look at the first one. God is a jealous God. God doesn't want us to put anything ahead of him. It says in Isaiah 2, verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the eternal shall be exalted in that day. This is what's coming. And in order to be exalted, as he rightly should be, in that day, it says in verse 18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. You think about some of those examples. I think I gave one recently on this program, or maybe it was a lecture somewhere else. The example of Josiah, where he went in and he just obliterated those houses of the Sodomites that were right there, near, or in some case adjacent to, places of worship. I mean, this is the way the devil is. I mean, he just wants to ram his way of transgression and sin and rebellion and witchcraft and idolatry. He just wants to ram it down our throats. He wants for it to be everywhere. And it pretty much is. But their time, the devil's time, is short. This is brought out in Revelation 12. He knows how short his time is. That's why he's filled with this mad dog rage of his. He's a destroyer. He's the cause, the root cause of all the problems we see in this world today. He's the father of all the lies, of all the deception. And God says, if your mind is converting to the truth, like Mr. Armstrong's was back in the 1920s, God says, now come out of this world, put away those sins, and follow me, just like the man in Matthew 19. He was pretty proud of himself when he asked Christ, you know, what do I need to do to make it into the kingdom? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. As I say, he felt pretty good because he said, I've been doing that since my youth. I am a commandment keeper. Jesus said, all right, go and, you know, sell off everything you have and just follow me. He couldn't do it. He couldn't give up everything. He couldn't give up this world. That's the lesson to take away from that account in Matthew 19. He couldn't give it up. If you think about the counting the cost chapter, that's Luke 14, where Jesus said, you know, any man that's going to be a servant of mine, I mean, you've got to love God more, even more than your own family. You've got to be willing to bear the burden, to carry the cross, so to speak. You've got to be willing to think ahead and to count the cost and know that, okay, this is forever. I mean, I've got to go forward and I can't turn back. I've just got to go forward with Christ. How willing are we to give up everything for God? God comes first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 33, you know the well-known memory verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. There's certainly instances of faithful men and women in the Bible who were fabulously wealthy, and God wants us to have the abundant life, to prosper and to be in good health. 3 John 2. But he doesn't want those material things to come between us and him. You read the verse in 1 Timothy 6 where it says that money is a root of all evil. It certainly is one of the biggest causes of evil. I mean, look at the Penn Biden Center, as I discussed in the first segment. The hundreds of millions, or at least the tens of millions coming in, and all these Biden people that were working there, and they were on the take, getting paid by these CCP companies that wanted favors in return, that wanted policies decided or changed in return. Sellouts, you see, for money. Traitors for money. In it for the cash. Notice Psalm 37 and verse 4. It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." See, God does want us to prosper, to be in good health. But we've got to go the way. I mean, it says in Deuteronomy 11 that if you obey these commandments, it'll make you strong. Everybody wants to be strong. Everybody wants to be healthy. But we've got to go the way that God lays out. We've got to follow in the steps of Christ. Jesus said to the young man in Matthew 19, just give up all of the things of this world and follow me. And it says he sorrowed, this man, and he went away from Christ. He wouldn't follow in the steps of Christ. Verse 5 here in the Psalm, it says, "Commit your way unto the Eternal, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And then verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." Look to God. Never mind what's happening around you. Rest in the Eternal. Wait patiently on him. Never fret. And then don't get caught up in comparing yourself with someone else. Verse 10 says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, though you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." You shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, it says. "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." The meek shall inherit the earth. God's going to give us everything. Look at what happened to, again, just to take one example, Herbert Armstrong. Look at what happened when he humbled himself, when he surrendered to God. I mean, he spent decades in poverty along with his wife and family, and she was right there faithfully at his side, helping him, supporting him, complimenting him. And then by the end of his ministry, I mean, he was flying the G2 and the G3, the Gulfstream plane all over the world, visiting with world leaders, prime ministers, presidents, preaching for God, delivering the true gospel to the leaders of this world. That was back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. All that history recounted in the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. Make sure that you call our operators today and request your free copy. The 800 number, if you live in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. It's 1-866-930-3024. That's all we have time for, unfortunately, on today's show. We thank you for joining us. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll see you next time.